Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host today, Andy Webb. Yes, I am filling in for Del. In fact, he's out. I don't know where he's at. Vacation, something like that. He deserves a break, right? Del's got some big shoes, and I'm happy to join you today and be with you today and do my best to fill in for Del. You know, he's out here on the radio every day. That's a lot of time that he spends with you. He's trying to help you shift your mindset, right? So you can take action and change your life. If you're in that situation where you're in a quiet life of, you know, living that quiet life of desperation, you can do something about it. You really can. You can create cash flow. That's what he talks about. You can grow your wealth. Right. You may start with very little, and I'll give you a little bit of my background here in a moment, but you can really grow your net worth, grow your wealth, and you can become real estate retired. So Del, yeah, he shoulders a pretty big burden when he's on the radio. And by the way, speaking of radio, we are transitioning fully to the podcast space. So if you're not catching us in the future on your favorite radio station, well, guess what? I've got three places where you can go to catch the show because we will be continuing onward. You can go to lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a button at the top that says podcast. Click on that. These shows will be archived there. You can listen at your convenience. That's a little bit nicer for a lot of people. Number two, go to your favorite podcast app if you don't want to go to lifestylesunlimited.com website. And number three, you may already have picked up on this, but we've added a camera, a digital camera to the mix. So we are doing video podcasts. So you can go to YouTube. And these shows will be posted there as well. So radio is now becoming podcasts. So get out there and check out the podcast. Watch at your convenience. And in the meantime, I'm on radio for the last time for Del. And I hope he's out there enjoying that vacation. Now, who am I? Talked a couple of weeks ago about some of the investing my wife and I have done. But I'm somebody that was in your shoes over a decade ago. Right, I caught Del on this very radio program. I'm sitting in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'm very thankful for the fact that we picked him up on AM radio. We got out to one of the free workshops and then out to the two-day investor skills intensive with Del. He came up to Dallas-Fort Worth and did the teaching and ultimately changed the trajectory of my life and the life of my family. So we're very, very thankful to Del on that front. And I know when you listen to Del, and I bring this up because I just see myself as a regular guy. But Del, when you hear Del talk, I mean, he can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes because he is uber successful. He's been doing this for a really long time. He founded Lifestyles Unlimited over 35 years ago. So he's been around in the industry for a long time. And really, no matter whatever industry or field we're talking about, sometimes you hear that person that's like up at the tippity top and you're like, there's no way I'm ever going to get there. It is not possible. Well, I'll tell you. You listen to Del, he bought 100 houses more when he started, shifted to buying his own apartment communities, multimillionaire. No way I can do that, but you can. Now, maybe you don't get quite as far. Maybe you don't need to get quite as far. Right? That's a other conversation, but really my goal today is to give you my perspective as somebody that has not bought 100 houses, right? I'm well below that. Somebody that has not owned several apartment communities by himself, right? That's what Del does. He's an independent rental owner. He's not syndicating. He's not investing with other people in that sense. He's buying these communities on his own. I've not done that. But I am somebody that has gotten to complete financial freedom by following the roadmap that Del gave me and my wife back in 2012. So it's been a while. We joined Lifestyles Unlimited back in 2012. And I'm sure that if I can do it, right, I'm just a regular guy, you can too, okay? Just to give you a recap, again, we talked about this on the show 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to bring today's show to you last week, but of course, technical difficulties. That's what happens when you're making changes, adding the video camera, adding new equipment to do the podcasting. So we're going to give this a go today. And just to give you a recap, again, you can catch last week's show if you go to lifestylesunlimited.com or your favorite podcast app. Like I mentioned, I'm an investor here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm coming to you today from my Sticks and Bricks personal house. If you've caught any of the shows in the past, I also host the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor radio show. Now, I guess that's going to become a podcast as well, and I will continue hosting that. We travel a lot thanks to that financial freedom. So sometimes I broadcast to you from the RV bunker. I may be doing that again soon. But again, I heard Dell on this very radio show and learned about Lifestyles Unlimited. My wife and I, we drug our feet before finally taking action and getting into the what was then the free workshop. Now you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Let me just hop over to the website here. I want to make sure I give you the right name. Let's see. I had this loaded for you. There's a button that says start here. It's a good place to go. And there's also a button that says start the free 5-day series. So that's essentially what we did back in the day. Back in the day, I had to go to an office. And there was a gentleman named Al, not Al Gordon. This was Al Walker, different Al. And he was an investor. He was a member. He had had his own success. And he was recruited to come back and help get the next generation going, up and running. And he did a great job. And we got inspired, like I said. So now I've been an investor over a dozen years, and we started by buying single family rental houses. Why didn't we go into apartments at the outset? Well, maybe we could have. We didn't feel our capital level was at the correct place to do that. So we started by buying single family houses. By the way, if you're asking yourself that question, should I buy houses or should I invest in apartments? I did a show a couple weeks ago, it might have been a couple months ago now, also posted on lifestylesunlimited.com where I compare those two for you. So you can think about which is better for me, which capital, do I have enough capital to do apartments? Should I do houses? Do I build up my capital first? Why would I do houses versus apartments at the time when we did houses? It's because we wanted the cash flow. Houses get to their cash flow much, much quicker because there's less of a turnaround period, right? We're buying houses that do need work. They're distressed, physically distressed, but the renovations on a single unit, right? A single building, 1,500, maybe 1,800 square feet, might take a couple of months. But if you're trying to turn a big 200-unit apartment community, that can take a lot longer. So we said, let's go houses. And we did. We started buying houses and retired my wife in as little as 3 years. And eventually I pulled the trigger and retired from corporate America. I guess it's been about four and a half years ago. At the time, I was 47. And that's about 20 years ahead of the target age, right? If I want to maximize my social security, I should work in, my dictate is 67 years of age and 2 months. It's a weird number. But I did that 20 years ahead of time. I don't care about social security. When it comes time, will I draw it? Sure. Yeah, why not? That's just icing on the cake. But what we've built allows us to not even think about that, right? If you think about retirement as a three-legged stool and one of those legs is social security, well, you don't have to worry about that leg being pulled out from under you anymore, do you? So 47, what we essentially did by buying just single family houses is create a ton of passive income. And eventually we did shift into investing in apartments, not as an IRO like Dell does, not buying our own communities, but investing passively, which fits a lot better with our lifestyle. Remember, Dell says it all the time. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. And for us, that lifestyle means traveling the country, traveling the world with our now 9-year-old son. And that's what both of those tools being rental houses and apartments do for us. Incidentally, I mentioned a lot of what you choose to do depends on your capital base, right? Your net worth when you start. And we've grown our net worth over the last 14 or so years, over 3,000%. And 3,000 sounds like a big number, but it's the effect of small numbers. We started with a really small base. So whatever math I do relative to that small base, that number is going to be big. So the point for you is you don't have to have a huge capital base to start doing what we do. And if you don't, then that's when you go the single family route. So what I want to do today is use my personal timeline as a case study for you. I built this out. I actually put this to paper. Well, it's a PDF or a PowerPoint slide that I built, but it shows our growth over the years since we became members in 2012. And I want to walk through that briefly, not just to highlight what I've done, but more importantly, to underscore and highlight some of the things that I learned, especially in looking back. You now have the benefit of my hindsight. If you're just getting started, take this away today. I want to share some of the things I learned, and really there were things I could have done to have accelerated our growth, right? I waited quite a while to pull the trigger on my retirement. I could have done it much sooner had I been a little more active in our growth. We'll take a quick break here, be back, and I'll tell you about that when we come back. Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. I'm your host today, Andy Webb, filling in for Del, and it's always a pleasure. It's been about a year, some change since I last filled in with for Del. That's not entirely true. I did a couple weeks ago as well, but really the bulk of my time spent in this seat, it's a big seat to fill, was a year or so ago. And I'm reprising a show. I want to address this show again for you because I think it's helpful for a lot of people that are struggling with the fact that they hear somebody that's a multi-millionaire many times over, owns a lot of apartment communities and lots of other assets, and they just can't. There's a disconnect there. That guy's so far away. I don't know how I could ever get there. I'm not that far away. Believe me, we've achieved our financial freedom. We've built up a portfolio of single-family rental houses as well as passive investments in apartments. And we are real estate retired. We are very flexible in our schedules. We own our time. I have a 9-year-old son. We homeschool him. We do what we want to do with this guy when we want to do it or whoever else, right? We have a lot of fun play days, trips to the zoo, et cetera. If you've caught the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, you've probably heard me talking ad nauseum about these things. But we got there simply by slowly accruing more and more passive income, more and more cash flowing assets. How slow or fast did we move? Well, let's jump over. I want to share my timeline with you just to give you some perspective. It wasn't fast. We didn't go and buy 10 houses out the gate. We didn't go and buy 20 houses out the gate. We bought one. And that one took us a long time. We became members in March of 2012 and didn't buy that first house until August. It took us a long time to get through, not to get through the education, but get enough education under our belt to where the fear that gripped us about buying a house that needs work, getting it renovated, and moving somebody in and managing a rental property, that was a lot of fear that was just a big hurdle in front of us. But we, through the education, through going to events at Lifestyles Unlimited, we eventually pulled that fear away, pulled down the curtain, and pulled the trigger and bought one house in August, started the renovations. And here's the thing. Once you take action, action begets action. And that's a big thing for you to take away today. Do something. You have to start. And that one house became a second house not even a month later, maybe a month and a half. We were contracted and we closed on our second rental house already in September. Third house came not too far after that in January. And when I look at my timeline from 2012 till 2019, that was our peak buying time for single family houses. We averaged about 2.5 houses per year. Not a lot, right? And you need to ask yourself, can I handle, do I have the finances, the wherewithal, the financial firepower to buy two houses this year? Or maybe from now into, we're in the middle of the year now, into the middle of next year. I bet you can. Now, you may have fear. You may have reasons that your hurdles you're putting in front of yourself, you need to break those down and we can help you with that. And you may need help, right? That's where the mentor plays in particular. Lifestyles Unlimited is an education that helped and mentoring organization. And mentors are very, very pivotal at this stage when you're just starting, when that fear is there, they'll be by your side. They can help talk you off that ledge. So you do pull the trigger, right? And we really leveraged our mentors early on. But can you do two? Can you do one house? Sometimes that's all it takes. Proof of concept. See how that first house goes. And when you see how it goes, you're going to be chomping at the bit to do another one. It's like eating a bag of chips. You don't eat just one. You get the next one. You go after the next one. This is a true story. It's hard to stop. It's fun to do. Now, we don't do this as a hobby for fun. This becomes a business and you should treat this as a business. But back to the timeline, 2.5 years over that, or 2.5 houses per year over that first 7 years. And some of my takeaways, that's what I want to get to for you today. Well, let me get there here in just a second. What happened though, we bought one house, bought another, bought a third, and we ran out of capital. I mentioned we had a pretty small capital base when we started. That's why our net worth has grown over 3,000% now, because a small base. Now it's sizable now. I'm very happy with where we've landed and we'll continue to grow. But that small base limited us early on. We ran out of capital. Now, we had to scratch around and figure out where do we go for the next capital. We'll talk about that here in a minute. That's going to be the second point I want to get to. The first point, however, is that we didn't sit forever on the sidelines looking for that home run property. My big learning, and this is a big one, find those base hits over home runs all day long. If you're buying out there, buying singles, buying base hits, you're going to eventually get a home run. And we've picked up some really home run properties over the years. These are clear home runs out the gate. But if you only look for home runs, you're never going to buy anything, right? That becomes a problem. I need to have zero cash out of pocket. That's a unicorn. Do those occur? Yes. Can you buy those? Yes. Have I bought? I took $200 and some change in cash to the closing table one year. That was basically $0 out of pocket. So you can find those. That came later on as we improved as investors. Had we not bought that first house, we would not have gotten to that unicorn, almost $0 out of pocket purchase, right? So base hits over home runs. Take that single. And I've seen over the years that those singles, what appears to be a single on paper at first, can become home runs. That's the thing. We are not flippers. We're not buying and trying to sell this thing after immediately after we fix it up. We're hanging on to it for a number of years. And time is on your side. If you have an error, right, in that hit, right, using the baseball analogy, time heals those sort of mistakes. I've made mistakes in the years, over the years. The fourth house we bought, we actually got to, the way I measure my equity capture is from the time of purchase through renovations to when I get through the refinance. We were about at zero because we had some unforced errors, things we missed, mistakes we made in figuring out the rehab and things like that. But that house went on to cash flow massively, really big numbers. And we eventually pulled out something like $60,000 on a cash out refinance, which is a not non-taxable event. $60,000 into our pockets to go and do something else, right? To go invest in the next couple of houses, roll into apartments. If you're looking to do apartments and you don't think you have the capital base now, this is how you get to that capital base. Invest in these singles. Get the occasional home run, pull that capital out, and then roll it into apartments. And you have to remember, we make money multiple ways on our houses. This is where time is on our side. Number one, cash flow. It has to cash flow. I want to have cash flow coming into my pocket every month. And this is where today, by the way, is different than when we started. And when we started, it was different than when Dell started. When Dell talked, he talked about maybe cash flowing net to his pocket $200 a month. Well, interest rates had come down. Mortgage rates had come down. When we were buying, we were starting out for maybe $500. Well, that has changed again, and those rates have come back up, and we're back to where Dell was when he started. We're cash flowing in Texas, maybe $200. If you want higher cash flow, we do have Lifestyles Realty in other markets where you can get much higher cash flow to the tune of $400 or $500 or so. But remember that. We're making cash flow. It has to cash flow. And when we buy, we're buying distressed assets, as I mentioned, and because we are adding value back to these houses that need work, we're creating a lot of equity at the outset. And that's the interesting thing now. When I began, I had a lot of singles, not from a cash flow perspective, but from an equity perspective, because equity capture was very, very low. Prices were higher, market values were lower, and the spread just wasn't there, right? I might have a 25% equity gain on properties we bought then. Today, that gain might be 100%, 150%. And how am I measuring that? Well, I buy a house for, let's say, $100,000, put $50,000 in work, but it values at $200,000 when I'm done. My out-of-pocket on that might be $20,000, but I've created an additional $30,000 in equity. That's 150% return. So cash flow big, equity capture big, those tend to shift a little bit. And we're going to head into a break, and I'll resume this when we get back. Stick around.
Now your host, Del Walmsley.
All right, welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. I'm your host today, Andy Webb, filling in for Del. Hey, if you have any questions for me, yes, you can email me as well. You can send those to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And by the way, I'm filling in today on the radio show for Del. We are transitioning fully into a podcast world, okay? We've been posting these to our website as podcasts for decades, actually, for a long, long time. You can catch all kinds of older shows there. If you go to lifestylesunlimited.com, that's one place where you can go. There's a podcast tab at the top. Click on that. Catch the latest shows. If you don't want to go to our website, you can go to your favorite podcast app. And a third option, because we've now added video. If you're watching the video now, I'm probably gesticulating a lot with my hands. I tend to do that. Making frowny faces, all that fun stuff. Well, you can go to YouTube and subscribe to the Lifestyles Unlimited channel. We will be there. And what I'm talking about today, I just wanted to kind of bring things back down to earth, right? I've not been investing as long as Dell. I've not bought as many houses in my history as Dell has or apartments, but we continue to grow. And the trick to this is you have to start. And once you start, I want to share some of the things I've learned. Just reflecting, I've created a timeline from day one, 2012 to today. just to see when were things, when did we buy, when did we sell, when did we refi, when did we get into apartments, because we did make that shift. And one of the learnings that I take away from looking at this timeline is the fact that, well, we bought about, on average, initially 2.5 houses per year. We weren't going crazy. We didn't have the capital to go crazy. If you have the capital to go crazy, yeah, go buy 10. It's a good thing. It's, trust me, it is far easier to manage a portfolio of 10 rental houses than one. You get a lot more attention from contractors, for example. There, you get systems. It's a lot easier to have a system with 10 houses than with one. So there are advantages to that. But we couldn't do that. We didn't have the capital. But what I learned is that if we just consistently applied what we had, what we learned, plus what we had in the bank over time, consistency over time, over the long run, is the key. And that doesn't mean buying home runs. That means buying those singles, because they evolve. They grow. The market shifts while you're hanging onto this property, and your rents go up. So your cash flow goes up. The market value, we were talking about the ways we make money in our houses. Market appreciation adds to our equity. Our residents are paying down the mortgage because we do have mortgages in place, because that allows us to buy more properties. And they pay that mortgage for us, and the equity builds up as the principal is paid down. And there are huge tax advantages that protect my cash flow. If you're doing it right, you'll have low to no taxes on your cash flow during the hold period. And then here's the key. In order to grow, you have to take certain actions. I'll get to my second point here in a moment. And when you take those actions, namely selling that property, well, there are tax advantages that protect those gains so that you can roll those into the next investments. And essentially what you can do is double up. You sell one, buy two, double up again, sell two, buy four, double up again, sell four, buy eight, using what is called a 1031 exchange. But in order to get there, you have to start with consistency, and that consistency needs to be applied over the long run. And that does imply starting. If you don't start, none of this can happen, right? Most common regret, by the way, talk to anybody that's invested for 5 years, 10 years, certainly those that started, you know, have been doing a little bit longer, they're going to tell you, and I will say it too, most common regret from the real estate investor is that I took too long to start. I should have started sooner. If I had started all the things, I think I was, 38, 39 when we bought our first rental house. If I had done these things in my 20s, wow, I can only imagine where we would be. How do you start? Again, go to lifestylesunlimited.com and there's a start here button. It's as simple as that. So that's the first thing I learned in looking back at my timeline is just, had I done these things, or by doing these things consistently, one, two houses per year, I really saw growth. But we were limited. We were limited by our capital. Let me grab my notes here. This takes me to my second learning, my second point. And that is that capital events are important to growth. What is a capital event? It's when I get an influx of capital, cash, right? That could be through a cash out refinance, right? On an existing property, on your personal house. That could be from a sale of an asset. That could be from taking capital from other sources. What other sources? I'll tell you here in a minute. But looking at my timeline, I see very clearly here, there were no capital events. You know, they're all on the more recent, relative today, more recent end of that timeline. And reflecting back on this, we should have done cash out refinances sooner. In fact, our first one wasn't until 2019. Why did we wait? I think we were a little nervous as well, right? That fear, every time fear puts a hurdle in your way, you have to learn how to fight that, how to pull that down, where to go to get help, right? Mentors are an extreme help, but we should have done that sooner. Now, to some extent, because of when we bought, high cash flow period, a low equity period, we did have to wait to get to that level of capital to where it made sense with transaction costs, all that fun stuff to pull the equity out. The cool thing for you right now, as I am talking today, yes, cash flow is a little bit thinner. You know, we're looking for properties that cash flow anywhere between $200 and $600. That's our net profit. Collect the rent, pay the fixed expenses, keep the balance, $200 to $600. Back then, I would have said easily $400 or higher. Right now, cash flow is a little thinner. But compared to when we started, when I might have had a gain on my equity, 25%, nowadays we're seeing $100 and greater. Yes, there are lesser, right? You have to learn how to run your numbers, but you can get some really big equity pops. That's good news for you. That means not holding from 2012 to 2019 to do that first cash out refi. That means buying today and doing that first cash out refi in a year and a day, a couple years, something like that, right? Or just selling the asset. So again, should have had more. I should have forced more capital events, and I could have. Should have done those sooner. All right. Again, cash flow now lower, so take advantage of that equity. Now, key thing for you as well, when you start buying houses, you are in control, right? You control when these events can happen on a single family house. You are the owner. If you're investing passively in apartments, I don't have the control. Now, I have the fortune to have gotten into some apartment investments that have had cash out refinances. And again, the beauty of a cash out refi is they're pulling equity out. They're just changing the tenor of the note, the loan, right? Resetting the length, resetting the mortgage rate, the payments, the interest only period, all that fun stuff, and returning cash to us. And it's tax-free. There is no tax on that event, but you don't control that. If you want the control, invest in single family houses, be an independent rental owner like Dell, meaning buying your own apartments, or be a lead investor, the syndicator that puts together the apartment investments that I love, that I invest passively with, so that you have control. As a passive, right? You're in the passive, you're riding shotgun. You just got to kind of wait for that driver to choose when to exit that ramp and do that cash out refi or sell. Okay. And aside from forcing capital events on your houses by doing that cash out refi or selling, we've sold a number over the years. There are other places. And this is where it gets hard for a lot of Americans. You don't have to do these things, but if you really want to grow, and again, looking back, had I done some of these things sooner, I could have had greater growth earlier on. And that stuff, the impacts of everything we're talking about, they compound. It's not a linear growth rate. Things are exponential with real estate investing if you're doing it right. So I should have forced capital events sooner. Well, if you didn't have the capital in your rental houses, where would you go? Well, we did have 401ks. That's taboo. I know a lot of people, no way, not touching it. And I thought that way for a long time as well. You know what really got me going was back in 2020, COVID, right? The CARES Act. We could pull up to $100,000 out of our 401ks, and there was no 10% penalty, right? I'm under 59 and a half. And the bill let us spread the tax hit over 3 years. So they divided 100 by three, right? And that third appears on this tax bill, third on this filing, third on this filing. So I did it. It wasn't that hard. We still had some funds remaining, so went and did a quadro, or it's called a 401k partition. Depends on the state you live in, you may be able to do this. You can absolutely do this here in Texas if you're married. It's effectively a paper divorce where my assets are assigned to my wife. She's now able to pull that money out of that 401k and avoid that 10% penalty. Now you do take the full IRS hit at that time, so you have to be strategic in what you're doing. And eventually, yeah, we did a cash out refinance on our personal house as well. These are things I could have done much sooner, but I was scared. I had fear. I didn't fully trust what I was being taught. But again, consistency, learning number one, consistency over the long run taught me that the things people were telling me and showing me, quite frankly, at the investor journey nights, the case studies, they're true. I just needed to experience it for myself, and I fully understand that. So eventually we did these things, and that growth that was already not linear got even steeper, right? Bought five houses at once because we had the capital, right? Once you unlock that capital, you can simply do a lot more. Don't be afraid. If you can take my word at face value, trust me, don't be afraid to do these things. It will really propel you forward. Again, looking at my timeline, all these capital events are on the right side. Oh, well, hindsight is 2020. Use my hindsight to your benefit. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to pause, and I got two more looks like, looking at my show notes here. We're gonna hit those when we come back. Welcome back to the Dell Walmsley Radio Show. I'm your host today, Andy Webb, filling in. By the way, radio show becomes podcast. I've mentioned this a few times, but I want to stress this for someone that might just be tuning in the future. You can catch our shows if you go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the podcast button at the top, or go to your favorite podcast app. Or if you want to see us in person and all the frowny faces I make while I'm talking, go to YouTube and subscribe to our Lifestyles Unlimited podcast, video podcast there. And I'm talking today about my timeline because I'm not Dell Walmsley. I'm not way up there in terms of multi-millionaire, and we've done quite well, don't get me wrong. But we've grown our business very simply by following the roadmap that Dell did present. He was my very first mentor at Lifestyles Unlimited when we joined back in 2012. And we just applied it consistently. And that's one of my learnings that I've gone through with you today, is just apply this consistently over time. and you will grow, and not linearly. It will not be linear if you're doing it right. Number two, in order to make that not linear line even steeper in terms of growth, force capital events where you can, when you can. I should have done these sooner. And that takes me to the third point, or the third learning. Every single rental house I have bought is just like a little ATM, an automatic teller machine. You know, as we've seen with these capital events, what effectively happens is we create options with every passive investment that we make, every single rental house that we make. We create options and we create flexibility. We can choose to hold this property for a number of years. And maybe I get to the end of my timeline. I say, it's great. It's solid. Those renters are in there. I can choose to hold that longer and live on and enjoy the cash flow. I'm real estate retired. I live on my cash flow, right? I have to make these choices all the time. Sell or continue to hold, right? Or you could do a cash out refinance. I've done a number of these just in the past years and pulled a lot of equity out to be able to reinvest. You have that choice when you own and control your assets. Or you can sell, right? When you have one rental house, you have all of these choices. But when you get to 20 houses, those are 20 discrete little buckets that you can choose to do different things with. So you have a lot of options. You have a lot of flexibility. And speaking of options, I always like to bring this up because for some people, it's a scary thing to leave your job, your corporate job. It took me a while, not because we needed to wait. There was a point where we were financially free with respect to our passive income and our monthly household expenses. They were at parity or greater in terms of income. But a handful of years before I retired, I decided to present to my employer the option of me going part-time. I was a full-time salaried employee at the time. And this was only available to me because of the cash flow that I had built up through these little houses, these ATM, these automatic teller machines. By the way, the boss said, no, I don't want you going part-time. And I said, well, it's either part-time or it's not at all. I'm out of here. And she relented and I worked for couple more years part-time, enjoying health benefits, right? That's always a big topic, by the way. You can email me if you have any questions around that at askandy@luinc.com. I'm not a health expert, but I've gone through all of the process of thinking about what am I going to do? What are my wife and I, and now our son, going to do when we're out of corporate America, right? And the employer-sponsored health plans. It's a big question. The fourth thing I want to bring to you in terms of things I've learned is that, okay, if I go back to my timeline, let me do this first. Bought a couple houses in 2012, bought one in 2013, bought five in 2014, right? We continued to buy and buy and buy single family houses. When did we finally invest passively in apartments? Not until 2020. And then we continued to do that. Actually, our home buying petered out a little bit. We still bought a few more after that, but we really focused on the passive side of things, getting into apartments. My fourth learning for you is that we should have mixed multifamily in sooner. Some people are all houses. Some people are all apartments. I like to have some of both. I like the control I have in my houses. I like the passive, fully passive nature of apartments and the way those grow as well. Should have mixed them. Again, this is my hindsight, my looking backwards, my 2020 for you. Should have mixed those in sooner and applied the first learning we had, which is applying consistency over the long run. If I'd applied that theory here, I should have invested at least in one apartment syndication in 2012 and continued to grow that. They mature at different times. Apartments have different business plans, different sizes. The rehab goes faster or slower depending on the number of units and how distressed they are and that sort of thing. So they do mature at different times, and this creates staggered capital events. Again, it could be a sale, it could be a refi. Again, as a passive investor, we do not control this. Keep that in mind. So you do want to scrutinize the lead, the syndicator, scrutinize the business plan before investing, make sure it fits. I looked at one recently where the business plan was to hold for 10 years. That's not what I want. I want something shorter. So look very closely at that. But I started thinking about this like something called a bond ladder or a CD, a certificate of deposit ladder, where every time one matures, you roll into the next one, right? Roll into the next one. You have these rungs and maturities of different tenor, right? Different lengths. Well, do the same with multifamily. We had one sell, took the proceeds, invested it in two more. Had another one sell, took the proceeds, right? You just keep growing and that portfolio grows as well. It's what we do with our houses. It's what I'm now doing with apartments as well. But then I hear the question, yeah, but mortgage rates, Andy, you just said cash flow is thinner, mortgage rates are up. Didn't I miss the optimal time to get started? Absolutely not. Dell, again, harkening back to Dell Walmsley, the founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, he started in the late 80s, right? Founded Lifestyles Unlimited in 1990. Shouldn't I have started then? Well, yeah, sure. Were you born then? I know we have a lot of younger listeners that, millennials, you couldn't, right? I certainly couldn't. I was too young. I didn't start until 2012, right? What about the other hosts? Al Gordon. He became a member at Lifestyles Limited in 2017. Now, he'll tell you his story. He had some rentals prior to that. But the big point here is it doesn't matter when you start. It really doesn't. It matters that you start. The things we've talked about today, the things I've learned, cannot occur until you start down this path. There's no consistency over the long run until you start, right? There's no options, none of those options and flexibility that I talked about that we've built into each and every house that we own and control. You don't get that until you start, right? And you can't force these capital events on those rental properties until you start. How do you start? Well, I mentioned this already. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a start here button. It's as simple as that, right? There's also a 5-day readiness series you can check out. And if Lifestyles Unlimited seems like a good fit for you, and it was a good fit for us, it took us a little bit of time to think about it. We went to the free workshop, took us a little bit of time, finally went to the 2-day, the investor skills intensive. And we realized this is the thing. This really is. So if you do think Lifestyles Unlimited is a good fit, go check out the 2-day, the investor skills intensive. You'll learn a lot more about houses, a lot more about apartments. And from there, well, you figure out your trajectory. How is your life going to change? That's up to you. But remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.